duties, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of far. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Fireside Chats.
What's happening, people? Greg Carlwood here, occupying the fuck out of the green room at the Madhouse Comedy Club with the original motherfucker, Joey Diaz.
What's up, beautiful?
Honored to have him here.
Honored to be on the show.
On the blackest of Black Fridays. Isn't it kind of jacked that we have a day to give thanks for everything we got, and the next day, let's go out and get as much new shit as you can get.
Or spend that fucking money you worked hard for all year.
Isn't that typical fucking America?
Some people really, you know, opening up at midnight and fucking Thanksgiving. I mean, are we animals now? We get to the point in our lives where you need that shit that much.
I actually work retail. Retail is my livelihood, and it kind of sucks. You know, I'm kind of trapped. But, I mean, I was up at 2:30 this morning to get to my store, to open the store. There's people camping out before I get there, you know. And in the meantime, when I'm off work, I'm supporting the Occupy movement. It's kind of fucking total opposite ends of the spectrum, you know. But how do you feel about the Occupy? I mean, you know, I could do some regular questions and stuff, but I want to get deep with you while we can. Hear some stuff I might not hear anywhere else. Get to ask you some things I won't hear anywhere.
What do you want to talk about? Whatever you want to talk about.
How do you feel about the Occupy movement, man? For real.
I feel the Occupy movement has to be done in this country, but it has to be done to a different level. Like I was saying the other night, I think we're using an approach that's very 60s. We have computers, we have technology. The problem with the Occupy movement is that we have to attack so many things. We have to boycott so many things. And there's things that affect all of us. You know, somebody was saying that they went to a hotel and they had an occupancy tax at a hotel. You know, when you fly, 3 years ago the price of gasoline went up. So the airlines charged $20 per luggage. But the price of gas went down and that luggage is still there. So a family of four, which most people have, costs you $160 just to fly. If you each have one fucking bag of luggage, you know, what can you do? We all need to fly, but let's boycott those airlines. You know, the biggest problem that I have with the occupancy movement, where we should hit it, is any company who's doing business abroad. Those are the first motherfuckers I took down because they destroyed cities. Detroit, Cleveland, Buffalo, Upper New York, those cities, the population, the economic fucking hit, growth up there is zero. You know, Fisher Price left. This guy left. Detroit is fucking shambles. So those are the first motherfuckers we got to go after because they're going to help bring jobs back. Those people bring jobs fucking back. That's how they start. We're talking about jobs. That's the main thing. Let's get this country going. Then the second thing is putting these corporations in check. Let's put these motherfuckers in check. How do you put them in check? By boycotting. In the 70s, which you remember, there was a gas shortage in this country. And on greens, if your license plate ended in 0 to 3, you got gas. You got to do the same fucking thing. On Mondays, up 10 businesses worldwide get boycotted. Yeah. World fucking wide. Me standing on a lawn, and I mean, listen, let's be honest. And you want an honesty.
I want
honesty. I went to college in Boulder. I seen the evolution of the protester. There's the guy that goes out there that really means it from his heart, like you. And there's the trust funder who puts dirt on his face at 5 o'clock and goes, drives with the Audi, parks it, and goes down and starts yelling about the same corporation that his father's a part of. You know, so all that shit really bothers me. I understand where the movement went and where it became. Let's hit these. You camping out in front of town hall isn't doing nothing for me. Gotta hit these motherfuckers in the pocket. That's what they react to. What hurts you when you don't sell 3 pictures in a month? What hurts you? What hurts you?
Yeah.
If I close the fucking business on you, that hurts you. 2 years ago, my wife had a credit card, Capital One, 17%. One day she got a letter in the mail saying 32%. That's a criminal charge.
Oh, yeah?
That's a criminal charge.
That's fucking happening.
You can't do that. You have to boycott those people. Now her credit's run. I don't know what she did. She cut a deal with them or whatever. The next move, and like I told Joe Rogan the other night, the next move is one day we're actually going to go to Bank of America and the bank's going to be closed. And one day they're going to jack our fucking, you know, like they did in Argentina 10 years ago. The bank closed and they said, You have money in the bank, you're going to get it back with interest in 10 years.
Well,
you know.
Speaking of, I assume this is a marijuana-based podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're doing to a lot of property owners here in San Diego in particular because it's so conservative. The U.S. attorney, the San Diego U.S. attorney.
Jan Goldsmith.
I made a, this year's Halloween pumpkin was her face with horns.
Jan Goldsmith.
So they sent out letters to all the property owners saying that we'll seize your property.
L.A. too.
Seize your assets and that sort of thing. Well, this actually happened. The guy owned his own property, had his own dispensary in that property. They seized his bank accounts. They seized his property. And, you know, maybe after court, all those things will be sort of put back together. But still. And it's only because it's an election year.
Five years ago, Bank of America would not take money from medical marijuana dealers in Hollywood or in the L.A. area.
Really?
Refused to open up accounts. And 3 years later, they did accounts because they see the wealth in it, the money that's in it. You know, we're in trouble. As a country, we're in trouble. We don't really have a leader, and we're not going to have a leader for the next 15 years, and we know this. We know this going in.
If people want to occupy something, I think April 15th or 21st, whatever day tax day is a very important day that maybe where people can really show their government we're fucking fed up. You ain't getting this fucking $600 check. Go fuck yourself.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody talks about how far is this thing going to go or what do they really want. You know, everybody knows they're pissed, you know, but that's all people really know. And it's kind of scary to think about, you know, what would have to happen. Because the way I see it, like, I don't understand how you can get corporations out of politics. I don't know how you can undo globalization, these, you know, iPhone factories in China. I don't know how you can undo all that and keep the structure of a corporation.
Total separation from the system.
You want to get the Americans' fucking attention? Blow up the iPhone factory.
Yeah.
Well, as
can
a comedian,
you imagine blowing up the iPhone factory? It's not even a joke. If you blew up the iPhone factory, people would be walking around this country.
Now we're
lost.
You know, it's funny you say it because I was telling somebody the other day, it's like maybe we just need to take one or two CEOs out in the street and shoot them in the fucking head. Just
violence
one or two.
But see, the thing we got now is that it's
violence. Listen, the 60s is done. All that shit's done. The fucking, what's that? Listen, when you become a car salesman, the top notch is to become the general manager of the store. What's the fucking top of the notch as a protester? A beating. There's no career in a fucking beating. But especially now, they just like come with the tear gas. They did it last night in L.A.
Oh yeah,
they occupied
it's getting nuts up there.
So listen, pack up your fucking bags. We got computers. I got 16-year-olds that can hack the White House fucking computer, and you guys are still camping out to try to make a noise. That's 60s, bro.
I've noticed that
it's become something else.
Tell me about what are the biggest parallels for you between this and the 60s? What are the biggest similarities? What are the biggest differences?
About what, the 60s?
Later.
We had kids that were willing to die in a way. Like, you know, we came from a society that the 60s came out of the 70s came out of the 60s with all the black riots and the marching and all that stuff. And I feel that, well, first of all, there was different issues that we were looking at.
Right.
Now the problem
is more overt.
That, listen, you want to get a tent and camp out and put your laundry, that's great. But we got to hit them where it hurts, guys. We got to really put our heads together. Us going to war against the cops in L.A. because you want 10% to grow your own vegetables, enough is enough. Let's go home. The first way to be, let's become productive members of society, and then let's fucking take these motherfuckers down one at a time. And when they lose $1 billion a week, then they'll renew their shit and people will be alert. But you standing somewhere with a sign, that's 60s.
Would you, there is some importance to that thing, though,
that's
because
the
there has to be
the way
something
it's
going to
change is that you teach your youth, and you keep teaching them the right things.
I think that's in the
because it's not going to be us that stops anything. It's going to be our future generations going, oh, my dad told me, fuck that.
20
you know?
Years from now, 30
I mean, if
years
you
from
did
now,
that, that's
do?
The one way you can hit.
Where
hit you
just
be like,
that's what they're doing.
Do
I mean, they're in the education phase.
See, I know nothing of the Occupy. I live on a farm. I fucking work hard.
Yeah.
I get paid.
You have your freedom. You're not really involved.
I can.
You've divorced society.
I can self-sustain myself.
You know
I grow vegetables.
That's what's so fucking. That's what I think.
You go down the fucking corner, you know, and there's no more.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
Better not breathe in. Or
you go down the fucking corner. Thank you, Sean.
Look at that.
Look at that. You go down.
That
the
is
corner.
How they do it at the Met.
You go down the corner and there's no. Every gas station is a shell. You don't know the people who work in there.
Water?
You know, you don't know the people working there. You don't know nothing. In the old days, you walked outside your house and you knew Mel at the gas station. You brought your bike down there.
And that's because he was a part of your community, right? Coming from a place like New York.
He also, I think, had a bigger part in that gas station. Like, these days, you can't own or open a hardware store. You can just go manage a Home Depot. You can't, you know, open a video game store. You can just run a GameStop. Like, the corporate control is so strong that we just, I mean, so many of us. I'm probably the only one in this room who doesn't have any control of my own life. And it's frustrating as fuck. I mean, I'm working retail on Black Friday. This is the worst weekend of my life.
I restore antiques for a living. So I'm a third generation woodworker. So hearing your story, that's sick.
And you know what, though?
I have no skills.
Just 20 years ago, it was all mom and pop stores.
Right.
There was no fucking Best Buy. Yeah. There was no Fry. It was all mom and pop. Just in one fucking generation, that shit is flipped. 180 degrees.
And it's the globalization of trade throughout all the countries. Not saying that there's a justification for that, but I think it's a clear delineation of how that happened. But we can still make choices. Like, we can go support the mom and pop Indian food shop down the street.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's
the little deli that's been there for 20 years that's still surviving. We could still go support those places and tell Carl's Jr. to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, but
I make
that choice.
It's harder and harder
man.
Every day, but
yeah.
We still can make a choice.
But I'm from St. Louis, and in Missouri, there are not a lot of choices. There are no choices. Yeah, that thing. Yeah, that's our big attraction.
But you don't have, like, fucking attraction. There isn't, like, a barbecue shop?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it is not. Since I've moved out here, it's just a whole other world. Like, California actually appreciates small business and understands to a degree. But,
like, you go to a city like San Francisco, and those mom and pop shops have all been there for 20 years because they've been grandfathered in through their leases.
It takes money, though. People got to support that. People have to be wise enough to know that if you only go to these chains, you are choking out what's original about your location.
But you can see what happens because we get so spread out into suburbia that all we have is those strip malls that have those same fucking shit restaurants in them every time. And then we're since 9/11, we haven't trusted one another. It's been like, ooh, that guy might fucking rob me. He might stab me in the back when I turn around. So, like, we're not even interested in being supportive of one another.
Right.
And nothing is promoting that either. You know, nothing in society is promoting that. Besides weed, and they're trying to slow that down, too.
Well, right. I think that the whole crackdown on weed has something to do with the fact that the Occupy movement was gaining steam. I mean, that's just me.
I think it has
but
to
I'm
do
a,
with the
I'm
opium coming out of Afghanistan.
I just think that shit's all connected.
Close that door fast.
Waters.
It smells in the lobby.
That's the OG Kush.
I'm going to trade you.
All right.
Thank you, my love.
Badass. 10:18. When's the second show start?
10:30.
They told me 6.
I'm
going
to go out there.
Alright,
we'll
put
him
up there.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Congrats, dude. That's tight. That's badass. I wish I did anything with my fucking life.
You're working. You're working.
Yeah, it's kind of shitty for me to, you know, be ungrateful because, I mean, goddamn it, there are so many people with the unemployment like it is that would kill to have my fucking paycheck. They would kill to do the work I do. I sometimes feel like a huge pussy bitching about the work I do, but I also feel like I'm completely trapped. I don't have my own freedom. You know, I'm the store manager, but I have no control. Everything's corporate. It's just handed down. You know, they tell me what to do, and I'm just the guy who's there the most, really. I mean, I'm the guy who's also on the chopping block if anything goes wrong. But, I mean, that's what I appreciate about you guys is you really have your freedom. Like, you know, I'd love to be a comic, but, you know, 50 hours of my week is dealing with customers, and it's hard for me to switch mindsets. You know, you're yourself all day, you know. It's
just got real. It just got blacked out.
It's a badass thing, man.
How old are you now?
I'm 26.
You're the world by the balls. And that's
it
the
never seems
way.
Like
you know, it's really weird. I got locked up when I came out, and I wanted the American dream. So I got married, you know. I got a condo, I got the car, I had the truck, and I got a job, you know, estimating, even though it was completely against my whatever. And I tried it. After about fucking a year, I was like, this is it. I'll do this. I'll keep getting better as an estimator. Maybe I'll break off and have my own company. But I'm going to work 5 days a week. And then on Saturdays, I got to do shit around the house. And then on Sundays, I got to go up to her mother's house. And that's my life. And on Monday, I go back to work. And that's what I'm going to do. And I went to prison. I did all this shit. And here I am, 27. I got no skills but my mouth. I could talk. And after about a year of doing this, I was so fucking unhappy that I couldn't even come home at night. Like, I couldn't even come home. Like, I didn't want a family. That's fucking too tough, you know? I didn't know what I wanted. And all of a sudden she came home and then she goes, I don't want to be married. You know, this isn't working. And I got rid of everything, whatever she didn't take. And I bought a fucking $600 car. And I said, at this point in my life, I got nothing. I might as well go down doing what I want to do. And I got into comedy. And I knew when I did the steps, I go, if I do this, I have to do this.
Yeah.
I have to do this. You know, this is going to be for the... I can't quit in 3 years and become get a job as a bagel maker. This is what I'm going to do, you know. And I sit sometimes and I see my wife going to work. And I see me going to work. And I make what she makes, going to work 2 nights a week, which she makes sometimes more, you know. But I feel guilty. But then again, I put 20 years of my life into this. I slept in a car for 18 fucking months, you know. I took a shit in parks and, you know, and lived in couches and, you know, went, you know, when you're driving from fucking New York to New Mexico and you tell Mike Maxwell, he says to you, hey, man, if you don't have a place to sleep, stop in Texas Arcana and see my cousin. And all of a sudden you're sleeping in some stranger's fucking house. And they're like family because Mike Maxwell called them and said, and you learn. And I remember there were nights, dog, when I got to Detroit and I had a box full of change and that was it. And a joint, and my clothes, and a blanket in the back seat, and I would have to count the change and go to Pizza Hut to go, you could eat pizza and eat the salad and take pizza to go in my jacket. But today, I'm not Cat Williams, I'm not Dave Letterman, and I'm not even that much of a successful comic, but I'm living my dream.
That's all that matters, man.
I never wanted to get up and work in the daytime. I always knew from watching my mother, my shit wasn't going to work.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't like going to work with people that come home and everybody had the same lifestyle. I like people who hung out in the corner in the daytime. I always used to say, those are the motherfuckers that figured out, what do you do? I work nights.
Really?
So you go to work at night and you're home alone all fucking day. That's what I want to do. So as I was making my career choices, it was like, what's at night? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's at night that I could do? Everybody bartends. That's so fucking, you know, anybody fucking idiot could bartend. I was like, comedy. You know, and it just put the effort into something. We think we're strapped because that's what society wants you to think.
Yeah.
That you're strapped. They really fucking think you're strapped. You're never strapped living in America. We don't know that until you see these Russians coming in a year, they have a Lexus. And you say to yourself, you're strapped. How'd they do it? Because they've been fucking hustling all their fucking lives. We got to hustle more. People say the economy is bad. You know what? You got to create your own fucking market. And sometimes what you think you're creating, a shoe shining market, becomes a shoe delivery service. You didn't even fucking know it. But you wouldn't have fucking known it until you got up off your fucking ass.
Yeah.
Listen, man, the corporations are going to do this. You know, Subway's going to cut people. But McDonald's is always hiring. And there's always something you could do. Think the walls are going to open. The walls have been shutting down since 1930 in this country. We've been going through a Great Depression and Depression. And some people fucking sit and take the bullshit. And some people break out of it. And that's what this country needs right now. We need to break out of this shit. You know what? We need to break out of this shit. There's nothing for you to do. Paint a t-shirt and get a webpage at 300 and sell the t-shirt on the fucking webpage and get on Twitter and start from scratch. In a year, you'll have 1,000 fucking followers and you'll have a base to sell with. But if you don't put that year in, you're never going to know that.
And it's hard in context.
This is that
year. We see that... We think we're that 1% or the 99%, you know.
Yeah.
But if you put that in comparison to the rest of the world, like I live below the poverty level, and I have for a long time. But I made that choice as an artist, doing the work that
I wish I had
to
the
do.
Balls, you know.
But really, if I compare myself to the rest of the world, I'm in the top 60 percentile rate because motherfuckers are living off a quarter a day,
right?
A quarter a week, you know, fucking. 100
that's
miles down the street.
Right. Yeah, but what about the motherfucker that is making $120,000 a year? And he's working at a firm.
That's
right
not
now.
To discount greed at all.
He's got
yeah.
a fucking fat wife with two fucking kids. And he sees his boys once a year when they go to a frat reunion party and the wife gives him shit. And he works because in this country, you're forced to make a decision when you're 18 years old. You're forced, and also when you're 20, you're forced to pick a fucking major. And also when you get that diploma, by that time, you don't really want to do what the fuck you want to do.
No.
And now you got your brothers and, hey man, we're going over to Herb Dean and all this shit. And now after 8 years, you got a fat fucking wife who's a cunt. Because you know what I'm talking about. You see yourself on Southwest with that fat fucking cunt with a bag of M&M's. And you got the kid and the bag of diapers on your fucking arm. That's what your life has become. And you're not happy.
Settled.
So you have money and you have the car. You have the wife and the fat fucking kid and the stupid kid with the braces, but you don't have your happiness. You don't have your goals, which in turn you really don't have yourself. Those are the people that die and come back as a fucking iguana. You know what I'm saying? And come back as a fucking
tree. You didn't
tree.
Live your life.
You didn't live your fucking life. And that's what, this whole people always say, oh, Joey, you went to jail. That's bullshit. When I got out, I was selling stolen cars. I did whatever the fuck I had to fucking live this dream. You know what I'm saying? There was some nights that shit happened, and some nights shit did happen, but I didn't know until I tried. And something always happens, bro. Something always happens. On the 31st, when you think rent's not going to be in, you go to Ralph's, and there's a purse on the fucking street. But you wouldn't know that because nothing happens on your living room. Nothing happens in your living room. It's ITT advertisers on TV.
Yeah.
That's it. Nobody gives you $100 on that TV. That's the other part of America that has to pick it up a little bit, too. I see a lot of people sitting there waiting, things are bad out there. Bitch, you're 24. You're 24. Oh, my God, student loans. Not for nothing. You see those 10 Mexicans in front of fucking Home Depot? Learn how to hablo, bitch. Because that's quick 50 every day. You're the only white guy that speaks English. Get down there, you dumb motherfucker. You stupid bitch. A bunch of white people are looking for something. They'll bring 3 Mexicans over. If there's a white guy, they'll feel a little better. Go down there and supervise him, you dumb motherfucker. But no, you're sitting at home telling your buddies, I put a resume on monster.com. You and 80 other million fucking momos out of work. It's like when you put your GPS on and you get on the 5 and there's traffic. I did my GPS. Yeah, but everybody's on that same GPS. That's why I don't like GPSs, because you're beating to the drum of the same fucking idiots. That's why there's fucking traffic, you fucking momo. That's why there's traffic, you fucking schmo, because they put you on the same fucking lane. So when the bomb comes, you're right there, sitting there, like a fucking Puerto Rican on the 5th. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we have choices. And it seems like maybe that, like, they just keep telling us shit's bad and bad and bad to
you make start
it
believing
feel worse.
After a while. You start believing it after a while. And you know what? Yes, there's a lot of liquor. When I was a kid, if I wanted to make $100, I went in front of 100 Quaaludes. That market has been taken away from you. A young kid, in my day, you didn't need a fucking job. You always had an uncle who had you loading trucks one night a week for your unemployment. And you went there and you picked up 2. So that's 800 a month. I got 800 coming in this month. And then you hustled. You picked up a quarter pound of weed. You picked it up for 150, you made 150, you picked up 100 hits of mescaline for $90, and you sold them for $3, that's 200. At the end of the week, you made 1,200. That's been taken away from this country. Nobody
right.
sells that
the
shit.
The hustle
no
is
more.
Difficult.
The hustle is difficult. In my day, credit cards, you had $50, they wouldn't swipe them. Nobody remembers that. In the old days, you went to a card with a card, they didn't swipe them, it was under 50. I ate the best Chinese food every day for years because the Chinese special is $6, you know what I'm saying? So the Chinese special is $6. I would fucking, they called Under the Limit, and all it was a book. You think a bitch is going to look in the book when there's a line at Boston Market to see if your card is in there? Fuck it. If it's stolen, who gives a fuck? Insurance will pick it up. They've removed that hustle. So they've taken hustles of people that used to make little livings. You can't shoplift no more.
No.
I come to you and say, hey, dog, what do you need? I need a TV. I'll be back on that. How much is it? 1,200. If I come back with this TV in a box, you give me 6? Yeah. Stay right there. Get the 6 ready. I'll be back in 2 days. Me and Frankie Park. Frankie Park, you got a truck? Let's go. 3 apiece right now. Boom. And all of a sudden, Frankie Park's just sitting there jerking off. And all of a sudden, I showed up and said, look, right behind Sears is a TV waiting for us, like setting ducks. Get the truck. Switch the license plate. Put your mom's license plate on there for 10 minutes. She won't even fucking know. She's in the fucking shower with a bum foot. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. By the time you come back, we got 6 bills, 3 apiece. It's Friday. You give mom 100. You buy a grandma blow, and you got 100 for the bar. Who's better than you? And you got another week to live and tell the fucking story.
I guarantee you there's some 16-year-olds out there that got some hustles that we don't know about.
Just sure. On the computer, there's a million hustles. That's what I'm saying. These young kids could occupy the world with this computer. They could fuck with financial systems. They could erase stuff. That's how we start. We got to grab people's attention by you hit their pocket. If you take a man's money, you got to take his bullshit. You take somebody's money, it becomes a different game. When a CEO drives in, what's the song? If I hear one more bonus the CEO got, I'm going to shoot you in the face. If that's your fucking argument about Occupy, stop fucking watching CNN and listening to these other potheads. Okay, stop it. That's the least of your fucking worries, you dumb motherfucker. I'm worried about the corporations that pulled out 300 employees and turned their lights off because 10 businesses did that. That's 3,000 jobs all through Tennessee and Michigan. That's who I'm pissed off at. Those are the motherfuckers that get the tax breaks.
Right,
and they get the tax breaks.
Some
they're
of them
over there.
Get rebates.
So
yeah,
you're taking
rebates.
Food out of our mouth. Bring them back. That's the first thing I want the government to do. They got to be led. All right, you want to plant in Pakistan? Good. But you got to have two in the United States. Deal.
Exactly.
I'm in, motherfucker. You got to take a knock somewhere. But you got 300 people without food. If half these corporations that went abroad did this, we'd be in good fucking shape. Then the other half are the people that are just abusing us. The people that we pay hard. You ever try to call Bank of America because they took $6 out of your bank account?
Oh, yeah.
And you're on hold for 25 minutes? Yeah. And they put you on hold with a Hindu? Then when you piss off, they put you on hold with a Hindu that really don't talk hablo. So that's 50 minutes out of your time. So now what do? You just hang up the phone and take the 6-minute beat. Why? And how many more Americans do you think do that?
Right.
Because we just don't want to take it no more. So we take the $6 beat. I just started getting my Sprint rebates. For 4 or 5 years, those motherfuckers didn't send me nothing.
Yeah.
And when you call them, they're like, you didn't send it in by midnight on August 14th. Doesn't really matter. It's my $50 fucking. But they all got loopholes, and that's where they fuck us now. And that's what we have to stop. Even Southwest, 10 years ago, you can miss your 8 o'clock flight, get on a 10 o'clock, and I miss my flight. Not no more. Southwest is great, but they'll bang you out. They give you free luggage, but get there late for a flight now, bitch. You know what I'm saying? So they all have loopholes. Our lives are great without loopholes. We're working Americans. There's no loopholes in our lives. We get up in the morning, we warm up our car, we count how much of a budget we have for fucking gas every month, and we go to work, we work 8 hours, we come back, we feed our family on a fucking budget, and then now you want to hit us with a loophole that we don't get that $50 back because I didn't call the thing. I needed that $50. My kid needed a baseball glove. That's what pisses me off. That's what's
and it seems like it's credit, and it's like right. It's a legalized loan sharking.
Well,
and
the
they
thing
can
is,
hit you whenever they want.
I mean, when you take a loan out from a bank, the bank can print that money, and you have to pay it back with interest. Well, where does the interest come from? You can't print that. You have to take it from someone else. It's a game of musical chairs where eventually everybody, like more and more people,
it's
are going to
be It's a creation
of
false
every 30
income.
Years it falls apart.
What phone service do you have?
AT&T.
How about you?
Sprint.
How about you?
Verizon.
I'm not putting nobody down. It's the weirdest thing. Like the worst service out there by fucking numbers is AT&T.
Yeah.
But we'll buy the iPhone, even though we're going to drop 1,000 calls a month. I don't have nothing against the iPhone. But here's the other part of the corporation that I don't like. Every 4 months, they come up with a new fucking iPhone. And people stand online. You know, there's Occupy on one line, and on the other line, there's how many iPhones did they sell the first
right.
weekend? 3 million at 400.
More people show up to that.
3 million at 400 a fucking pop. You know what? People buy it. It also, it's not only doing that. I think corporations are demoralizing our character. We were always half sheep. Now we're 3/4 there, and that's what society wants. That's what they started. They wanted us to be sheep. That little camera right there in the computer. This is to just narrow our thoughts down. This is to see where our thoughts are. Everybody thinks we're getting away with murder. Look, I can see a fucking black guy fucking a midget in the ass. Look at me. I'm special. They're watching that shit. They're watching all the shit you fucking watch. That all goes part into your fucking thing to scope you into a, you know what I'm saying? So now, you know, it's like I see more sheep. You fucking, in Russia, they were standing on line for toilet paper. Here, we're standing in line for a fucking phone.
Oh, my God.
A fucking phone. It's demoralizing us as human beings. Even though we know AT&T is going to drop 80 calls in a fucking day, we still go in there like mummies and buy an iPhone.
I want maps.
It kills me.
I want those apps.
It kills me as a human being because it's like going knowing you're going to get fucked in the ass.
Dude, I hate that it happens on the day after we sit around and say how thankful we are for all the shit that we have.
Exactly.
The next day
we
run out and go buy more shit.
Exactly.
Like, frantically. And people are pepper spraying people. You guys probably
something?
Already talked about that.
I listened
Dad, I'm sorry.
I listened to this woman say something about what want is, and she explained it as, it's not the thing that we're getting, like, say, the iPhone, for example. It's the releasing of the feeling of want. Mm-hmm. So when you go to the store and get that thing, all of a sudden it feels like, oh, I don't want that thing no more. But after you get home and you have the iPhone for a little bit and it cracks and it drops 100 calls, you're like, it's okay, but I want something else. And that creates a suffering within ourselves.
I really
and
do believe
what else? There's something to how they're naming this shit, too. Everything's the iPhone and the MySpace, and we're separating ourselves from each other.
Like I said, if you blow up the iPhone factory, we will walk around this country for 3 days lost.
Yeah.
People will be at Starbucks with Zambuca bottles hitting each other in the fucking head. That would be the real Occupy. That's the start. Blow up the iPhone factory. Just blow the fucking two of them up simultaneously and watch ABC News go fucking bananas.
All we need is all those satellites to eat shit one day or a full electrical system.
And they know this. I guarantee I'm going to get a knock on my door Monday morning
just
with three guys in suits because they know it. America will go into it. We depend too much on our phones. We're done. And that's why the Occupy movement will never work in a way. Because while we're standing online, we're looking at our iPhones. Mm-hmm. So we're really not committed to the fucking movement. And even though there's corporations that are good out there, if we boycott one, we got to boycott them all.
Well, we got to use those tools that we already have to communicate.
We just can't say, well, you know what, we can boycott. You know, today I'm going to take the day off because the new iPhone's coming out.
I know.
So we have to, and that's where we miss the whole fucking thing.
We need to do like the whole thing, the whole general strike, not just like one day.
I think, like,
that's the answer to everybody's problems, and that's what we want to do anyway. Sit at home and not do anything.
Well, what's the solution?
Stop working.
You hit people where the fucking hurts. You hit people.
It's easy if you can make a living doing something you like.
You don't need to make a living.
Everybody compares.
Everybody stops doing it.
Everybody talks about healthcare. Fucking healthcare, fucking healthcare. We never thought about the other side of that. How many years does it take to be a doctor?
10.
And what can they get? They don't have the right to get paid. There's parts of healthcare I don't agree with. I have sleep apnea. 10 years ago, all I had to do was call the apnea store and say, hey, dog, send me some filters and a new mask. And within 24 hours, I would have the mask. Now, they want me to go to the doctor and get a doctor's note for $135. That's what I don't like about it. And that's the insurance companies. Mm. That's where they rip us off. But you want to go to a doctor for $3? Really? Don't come crying to me when he misses that lump in your fucking ear because he's getting $3. He's getting $3. Yeah. So you got to get what you pay for. There's a line from here to Kentucky, and I check you out. All right, son, go. And then a month later, he's dead, but he went for a physical. He's a $3 physical, dog. The ears, the eyes, I look at your teeth, I check your pulse, and take a lollipop.
Get back.